Would you grab your Bible and let's make our confession even before we give you the reference this morning. The words are on the screen. I invite you to follow along or make this confession with us if you would. You ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, would you open your Bibles with me to the first book, Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. I'd like to begin reading with just one verse here. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20. On the back of your bulletin, there's a place to write down any scripture references or notes you may want to take with you today. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, we read these words. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Our first human connection is with our moms. So it's no surprise, really, that in many cases, that connection can not only deepen, but last a lifetime. And of course, I'm a dad. I hope I have a good, close relationship with our daughter. I believe I do. And dads can, of course, build strong connections with sons and daughters as well. But I want to thank God today even for foster parents. Thank God for adoptive parents. I don't look at them as any less. And I thank God for, even as some of you mentioned this morning, for fathers and mothers in the family of God, in the church, in the faith. And I thank God, you know, my mom, as again, just preparing for the message and thinking about my own mom, when we first started the church, I remember, you know, my mom was there, Kim's mom, and she would come. Some of you remember meeting in the old school, and we had to set up every week. She would do the table like we have in the back of the sanctuary here. She would set the table up, put the tablecloth on it, put article, you know, all the little articles and so forth in. And I was reading a verse in the New Testament. If you want to write it down, I'll just read it to you, and you stay there in Genesis. But Romans 16, 13 says these words, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine." Now, she was not Paul's biological mother, but she was a spiritual mother, a mother in the faith. And again, we've had, you know, ladies in the faith that I consider spiritual mothers in this church family. One of them is known for many words and deeds, but there is one especially that associated with her memory now, and it was this: don't just live, love. Don't just live, love. And so this morning, this is a simple message that I hope that we could share together, and that is this: promote life and love. Promote life and love. Would you say that with me? Promote life and love. And of course, the Bible, of course, teaches us that God is the ultimate source of both physical life as he designed and spiritual life, the unending eternal life that we all need. And God is the source of perfect love. I want to take just a moment before we read a few more verses in Genesis here and just to thank God for his beautiful design, that God designed life. He designed male and female in such a way that we're of equal value and worth, but we have our differences that are not meant to divide us, but to complement one another. They're complementary differences. And so we come together as husband and wife, and a miracle takes place. And one little cell is brought to life and just grows and grows and grows. And I said that God is the ultimate source of physical life. I'd like to read a few verses to you from Psalms 139, then we'll go back to Genesis. But you can follow along on the screen. It's Psalms 139, and these verses are from verses 13 to 18. And just think about how, you know, David is writing this as a grown man, but under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You made them. And knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book." Isn't that something? To me, that's a blessing. That's not a bad thing. That's a beautiful design of an all-powerful creator and an all-wise and loving father. And so he says, every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Verse 17, "How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me." The word promote, one definition means to work on behalf of. So this morning we talk about to promote life and love. God wants us to work on behalf of him to promote life. He wants us to promote his life. He wants us to promote his love and to do it in a way that gives him glory. So promote life and love. Would you say that with me? Promote life and love. So again, to glorify him in the way we do it and how we come across. And I wanted to read a few more verses in Genesis because we cannot promote the life and love of God until we first believe the testimony of God's word and receive the life of and love of God for ourselves in our own heart. Then we can work on his behalf as the Bible calls us his ambassadors to promote life and love to others. That's what the Lord wants us to do, not just for ourselves, but he wants us to share his life and love with others. Genesis chapter 2, would you look back just to chapter 2 and verse 16? Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16, we read these words, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat." God is a loving father. He doesn't want us to know evil because it hurts and kills us. And so he says, I don't want you to know this tree, but he gives us a choice. And he sums up that sentence and he says, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Then over in chapter 3 and verse 6, Genesis 3, 6 says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her and he ate. And the eyes of them both were open and they knew that they were naked and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And since that time, they didn't die physically. They lived for many years afterward, but there was a separation in their relationship with God. They broke God's word and it broke their relationship with him. And when that happened, they died spiritually. Because again, God is the ultimate source of life. The reason to this day that people die physically is because the entire human race has been infected with the deadly virus of sin. And the sin in our hearts kills us. It's not God. And we see someone pass, maybe here's a bad circumstance, here's even a little young person. And that doesn't mean that they did something wrong. It just simply means they were human. And the sin in our hearts ultimately not only separates us from God in this life, but forever. But we thank God. In fact, they sewed fig leaves together to try to cover their wrong. Aren't you glad we don't do that today? We don't try to cover anything we do wrong, right? We can all relate to that, can't you? I mean, I remember now, I don't know why this is even coming to my mind right now. I remember being in Victoria, and I think I was coloring on some steps outside. Do you remember that? I think I got in trouble for that. And I had crayons. I was coloring on steps outside. And of course, it's not like it's a big secret of who did it, but you try to deny it and hide it and cover it up. No one had to teach me how to do that. that was just in my heart to try to cover what I did that was wrong. That shows that we all need a heart change. And thank God that's not the end of the story, because even though they made the fig leaves and tried to cover themselves, our attempts to offset our sin fall short, and our righteousness is not good enough. But thank God it doesn't have to be, because God loved us so much that he provided his perfect righteousness for us through the suffering, the sacrifice, and death of his son on the cross, and through his resurrection on our behalf. That's why the Bible says in this very next, in Genesis 3:21, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21, it says, "Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God makes tunics of skin, and he clothed them." That sacrifice pointed to Jesus. And thank God that he loved us enough to pay for our sins on the cross, offer us eternal life and forgiveness. I know sometimes people ask, well, if there's a God and if he's loving, why didn't he do something about the evil in the world? Why did this happen and why did that happen? Well, he did do something about it. 2,000 years ago, he made a way to change our hearts. And that's what we really need. And in his time, he will correct every wrong. He will correct every injustice. And he will be glorified. But until that day, he's patiently and lovingly given everyone a chance to turn to him before it's too late. So promote life and love. So I just want to ask before I give you maybe two ways that I hope are practical, that how we can promote the life and love of God. And here it is. And you have to answer this between you and God. You don't owe me an answer. But has God's Spirit made this truth real to you? Has God's Spirit convicted you of sin, fallen short of God's glory? It doesn't matter if you're a child or 90. Has he convicted you of that reality and drawn you to believe that Jesus died to pay for your sins and that he came back to life and he's alive right now? However you may word that in prayer to God, as long as you had that faith in your heart that responded to the drawing of God's Holy Spirit, you are born again. You know the Lord, your home is heaven, and if you know him, he wants to use you and me and all of us to promote life and love in a very needy world. Promote life and love. Would you turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 6? Proverbs chapter 6, right around the middle of your Bible, and just two practical ways that I believe we can promote life and love as the Lord's ambassadors and as recipients of his grace, his life and love in our own hearts. Proverbs chapter 6. And let me just give you these two. We'll look at both of them for just a moment. I'll try to keep it short today. But I believe this is an important message for us from God's word. Promote life and love. Here are two practical ways: in our words and our works. Promote life and love by words and works. Words and works. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 20, the Bible says, "My son, keep your father's command," your words, "do not forsake the law of your mother," words. Verse 21, "bind them continually upon your heart, tie them around your neck." In other words, keep them before you, keep them in your heart, keep them in your memory, because they will help you and guide you in life. Verse 22, "when you roam," that word simply means to walk or travel. "When you travel, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep or guard or protect you. And when you awake, they will speak with you." Let me pause there just a second. How many of us as adults can think of a time when maybe you heard your mom or your dad or someone in your family, maybe for some of you it was a grandparent, tell you something in life, and now years later that came up into your mind from some situation? How many of you can remember? A number of us, thank you. That's what this is talking about. You see the great potential that our words have? Of course, I know our words can, they can condemn and curse and hurt and discourage, but our words can bless, and our words can strengthen, and our words can comfort. Our words can guide in the ways of the Lord. Words have a healing power, at least the right kind of words. They can even correct in love. That's what the next verse says here in verse 23. It says, for the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. What my parents spoke to me helps guide me. It gives me light to live by. Verse, and the end of that verse says, reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The word reproofs there means corrections. It's actually translated that way sometimes. It's corrective words, but they're spoken in love, and the scripture says it's the way of life. Wise words will guard us and guide us in God's way of life. That's what it's speaking about, promoting life and love. Would you turn to Proverbs 31? Proverbs chapter 31, the last chapter of that book. Promote life and love. Would you say that with me? Promote life and love by words and works. By words and works. And promoting life and love, I'll say this, should start in the home for us as Christians, but it should not stop in the home. Notice what verse 1 says of Proverbs 31. It says, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. This king governed by the words and works of a godly mother's influence. Do you see how it was? It wasn't just in the home, thank God it was there, but then he lived it out in his life in his particular calling. Verse 8 says this, Proverbs 31:8, open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth and judge righteously and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Do you see how his mom taught him to use his words to promote life and to promote love for those who maybe who can't defend themselves or who can't even speak for themselves, or maybe they don't have a powerful enough voice of influence to speak up on their own behalf. And he says, I want you to go to bat for them. And his mother taught him that in the home. And let's make no mistake about this. Someone's philosophy and values are being taught in every pulpit across this nation this morning. Someone's philosophy and values are being taught in our schools and colleges and universities. Someone's morals are influencing legislation. If there is an intersection and there is no sign there, let's just say, throw that out for example, and people are running into each other and it's dangerous for a pedestrian to walk across, and someone passes legislation to say, we need to put a stop sign here and we need to do something, they're saying there is a moral judgment on that we are making to say that life is valuable, that people's vehicles are valuable, and we're going to pass a law to put up a stop sign or whatever it is. Do you see how they all come in? There's an influence there. Same thing in entertainment. It doesn't matter if it's movies, books, all kinds of social media. There is a message that's coming across. And as Christians, we have the opportunity, I believe even responsibility and privilege, that we share the truth of God, but we do it in the right way. That's why it's promote life and love. If you want to write this scripture down, I'll just read it to you. It's Acts chapter 6 and verse 10. Acts chapter 6 and verse 10. And Stephen was basically kind of arrested and brought before a council here. And this is what it says about his speech. It says, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. That's a powerful testimony. Now, they didn't like it, and they eventually killed him, not necessarily this group, but later on we read that they didn't want to hear it. That was the kind of like the silencing the voice of righteousness years ago. There was like a cancel culture, basically, of the mindset then, that they didn't want to hear God's word. They didn't want to hear the truth, and they sure didn't want to be convicted of their sin. But he spoke the right words in the right way, and they couldn't resist the Holy Spirit who has given him those words. So I think even, however we may come across, whether it's we're verbally speaking or maybe in social media, to do it, we speak God's truth, but we do it by God's Spirit and with God's heart to reach out to others. So we promote life and love by our words, and then also by our works. And I'll just, if you want to turn with me to the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, it's toward the end of your Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And just begin to even think about how maybe just ways we can promote the life and love of God just for you personally in your own center of influence. Not just bashing, attacking people. In fact, if our works are not in harmony with our words, we can come across as hypocritical. And I know you don't want that. I don't want that. So to promote life and love by words and then works, we want our works to be in harmony with our words and to lead by example. And that's what the scripture teaches us here in 1 Thessalonians 2, beginning in verse 7. To lead by example. I like how he words it even as parents here. Please notice this. He says, but we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil. See how it wasn't just they were speaking, but they were also working. Our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the good news, the gospel of God. And you are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believed. See the example that they set? And then I like how there's a distinction between the mother and the father. He says in verse 11, and as you know how we exhorted or we encouraged you, that's what that word means, to urge, to encourage, and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. I like how that's worded. We want to live in such a way that God would consider worthy and to walk in righteousness. Our works of righteousness, if we have any, are simply the fruit of God's grace in us and God's righteousness in us, and then we just live that out. So our words and works. I want to just say something real quick about the young generation. Thank God for the children. Thank God for young people. But it's so important, I believe. I've shared this before. I shared it last week in a staff meeting of just how important it is to reach the children. That's why we have ministry to the children. That's why we want to do Vacation Bible School. And I read something a few weeks ago. It actually took place back in, I think it was 1958. And there were two men going back and forth. They argued for 4 hours. This is 1958. Let me give you their names just so you know who it is. I'm not familiar with either one of them. There was a man named Norman, and I don't even know if it's pronounced correctly, Podohertz and Allen Ginsberg. Podohertz was coming more from like a conservative standpoint, and Ginsberg was what's called a beat poet, and he basically embraced, you know, Eastern religion and so forth. But at the end, after about 4 hours, this man Ginsberg said something that I believe turned to be prophetic, and this is what he said. He just basically, you know, shouted out six words: "We'll get you through your children." We'll get you through your children. Do you see how that mentality will try to influence? And there has been, we know there's enough ungodly influence out there. That is why we, as followers of Jesus, want to be a good influence and a godly influence and show the children a genuine and pure love for them and point them to the one who loves them most. I'm not saying other people don't care about them. I'm simply saying no one loves like Jesus. And to build their lives on truth, one chorus we sing sometimes is, "I am who you say I am." And to build our lives on the Lord who, even as we read from David this morning, he thinks about me so much more than the sands of the sea. I can't even add them all together. And then one more scripture, and it's found over in the next book, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Again, if you would turn there, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'll close with this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting, would you say everlasting? Everlasting consolation, I want to come back to that word, and good hope by grace. May he comfort your hearts, and notice, and establish you in every good word and work. Promote life and love by words and works. That word consolation, I looked this up because I wasn't sure exactly. I have an idea what it means, but I didn't know if that's what it meant in the original language. It actually is a calling alongside to help. It's like a strengthening presence. So if you're just feeling weak, then this consolation would be someone who would come along beside you to strengthen you. It means to encourage, to comfort, and to strengthen. And the Bible says that God is the ultimate source of this consolation. I just love as God's heart for us. God's heart for us is to be comforted, is to be strengthened, is to be encouraged in every good word and work to do his will, because that's ultimately what's best for us and what gives us glory. I even looked up, I can tell you that God's Spirit is the encourager and comforter. God's word is the same word used in Romans 15:4 that says God uses his word to comfort and encourage us, to build us up. And then also people. There was a man in the Bible in the New Testament. He was called Joseph, or some translations say Joseph. The apostles gave him a nickname. Know what it was? Barnabas. You know why? Because Barnabas means son of encouragement. Same word. That's the heart of God for us, that in serving him, worshiping and serving him, that he would comfort us when we need comforting, that he would convict us when we need convicting, that he would strengthen us when we're weak, that he would build us up and just keep us going in the right direction, because he's for us, he's not against us, he loves us, and he wants us to believe his word, receive everything that he has for us, and then he wants us to be channels of his grace to promote life and love on his behalf with our words and our works. Let me close with this morning, and just I want to ask you to think about it personally. First, I believe I need to say this. When we talk about our words and works, I know we all fall short at times. I know that. And that is why we need to stay in close fellowship with the Lord and with godly people, because we need each other. And you know, if you've walked with the Lord any length of time at all, you know how the devil is. He wants to isolate us. He wants to discourage us so that he can defeat us and make us feel like what we're doing doesn't matter, it is not going to last, and God doesn't care. Yes, he does. He is our comforter, our encourager, but he gives us one another as well. So I want to ask you this morning, again, between you and the Lord, is there anything hindering your fellowship with your Heavenly Father right now? Is there any thing hindering your fellowship with your Heavenly Father right now? Please don't let it stay. Would you put it away? He loves you, and I can tell you from personal experience, I don't know how far, doesn't even matter how far you may feel away from God right now. All you have to do is turn to him, and he'll receive you and forgive you and welcome you back into full fellowship. I was thinking about this movie this morning. Any of you see Home Alone? The original Home Alone. Do you remember the scene when Kevin goes into the church on Christmas Eve and his neighbor, the older man, is there? And he's scared of him because of stuff he's heard about the neighbor. So when the man comes over and sits by him and says, Merry Christmas, you know, they develop a little friendship. And the reason the man was there at that time was because he had a granddaughter singing in the choir, if you remember. Spoiler alert, but sorry, but he hadn't spoken to his son in years. That's why he was there then, because the father was, you know, his son, the father of the little girl, was going to be there later. And I got to thinking, and God would only know this, and my heart goes out to anyone who, on this Mother's Day, maybe there's some distance and isolation, and maybe some haven't, you know, spoken in some time. I would just say this, let's just keep our heart clean before the Lord. And we can't choose for anyone else, but toward the end of that movie, do you remember Kevin looks out the window, it's snowing, and he sees the dad hug his son and the granddaughter and that joyful reconciliation there? That's the heart of God. It's reconciliation, promoting life and love with words and works. And if you feel condemned about that this morning, please know that that's not coming from God's Spirit. The Lord does not condemn us. He is our healer and freer, but let's just make sure our hearts are right. Let's do our part, and then we'll trust God for Him to speak to other people's hearts too. But again, is there anything that you believe would hinder you? Would you just repent of it right now and receive afresh right now your Father's love and receive the life that He has for you in fullness, abundant life, and then just be available for His service? And I'd like to just ask if we could stand right now, and I'd like to just pray for you as you just think about receiving the life of God and the love of God in your spirit, in your soul, your emotions, your thoughts, your body even. Receiving, thinking of how you can promote, you personally can promote love and life and love with your words and works. Just think about it. I believe God will guide you. And Father, we just all stand before you right now in need and just ask you to draw us to yourself and your will. Lord, I'm thankful that you're a God of love, God of life. I thank you for family and relationships. And right now, I just pray that you would draw us to yourself. That's my desire. Draw us to yourself, your heart, and your will. I pray where there's a need for healing, may you bring healing. Comfort, strength, grace, forgiveness, mercy, even salvation to someone today to call on you, to say, Jesus, I believe in you. I receive you right now as the Lord of my life, and help me to follow you all my days. Strengthen your people. Lord, may we be fruitful because that's what gives you glory. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.